Father, as we open up your holy word this day, speak to our hearts. May we be open to your truths, and may they change us, and we will give you glory in your name. Amen. In The Christian Leader, Kant was written, that Don Raslaw retells the story of Vernon Grounds that came across in Ernest Gordon's Miracle on the River Kwai. The Scottish soldiers, forced by their Japanese captors to labor on a jungle railroad, had degenerated to barbarous behavior. But one afternoon, something happened. A shovel was missing. The officer in charge became enraged. He demanded that the missing shovel be produced, or else. When nobody in the squadron budged, the officer got his gun and threatened to kill them all on the spot. It was obvious the officer meant what he had said. And finally, one man stepped forward. The officer put away his gun, picked up a shovel, and beat the man to death. When it was over, the survivors picked up the bloody corpse and carried it with them to the second tool check. This time, no shovel was missing. Indeed, there had been a miscount at the first checkpoint. The word spread like wildfire through the whole camp. An innocent man had been willing to die to save others. The incident had a profound effect. The men began to treat each other like brothers. When the victorious allies swept in, the survivors, human skeletons, lined up in front of their captors, and instead of attacking their captors, insisted, "No more hatred, no more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness. Sacrificial love has transforming power." You see, forgiveness is a powerful factor in life. It has the power to free and to let you really live. We have seen the power and the need to receive forgiveness last time we were together. But that's only half of the equation, receiving forgiveness. Giving forgiveness is the other half, and should always follow receiving forgiveness. Because of the awesomeness of God's forgiveness, our response should be to forgive others. Turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 47, and Jesus made this statement. He said, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That's why she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little." How true. When you're forgiven much, you love a lot. When you're forgiven little, you don't do much. When talking about forgiveness, the issue comes up about feeling like forgiving. You ever get that? Or should I wait to forgive someone until I feel like it? Should I have this feeling in me so that I can forgive them? And some people even think that, well, if I forgive without having this feeling, then I'm a hypocrite. The truth is, hypocrisy has nothing to do with it. It's obedience. It's obedience. Doesn't matter what you feel like. Instead of acting on your feelings, you obey. And the scripture says you forgive or you're not forgiven. And that's a definite fact. And that's a kind of a wake-up call to each one of us. Forgiveness is hard work. Not always easy. But it has to be done, therefore, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the key. And that's why it's so important. That it's got to be done in His strength and His power. Notice what Jesus says, and then what Paul says in some scriptures that we want to look at. First, in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, Jesus says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and comes back to you seven times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." And then back to Matthew 18, where our scripture reading was in verse 15. "If your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother." It's an idea of forgiveness. And then Paul picks up on it in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 1, and these are just a few examples because the scripture is full of the instruction on forgiveness. He says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted." We need to be cautious in our own lives. You see, the person who's been offended, the person who's been wronged, or the person who's been a target of some type of an attack must be the one who seeks to bring the offender to repentance through forgiveness. It starts with you. You never wait for the other person. "Well, they did this to me and they have..." Doesn't matter. It starts with you. It starts with me. This is God's way, and we need to do it His way. Never wait for the one who's done the harm to you to come and seek forgiveness. You instead go to them. And if possible, and it's not always possible, you want to do this God's way always, but it's not always possible to go to the individual because they may not be there. You know, we need to tell them that we forgive them. Sometimes the person is already gone. They passed on or something, and it's an impossible thing to do. But we still grant the forgiveness by being in that attitude of forgiveness. You always keep in mind that when you forgive someone, you are the one who bears the price for what was done to you. Think about that. You're the one who bears the price for what was done to you. That seems backwards, doesn't it? Why should I? I didn't do it. Why should I bear that? That's not right. When we have that attitude, it's because we're looking at it from a human standpoint, from our way of thinking. We are supposed to be looking at it how? Through Christ's standpoint, through Christ's way of looking at it. And so as a true follower of Christ, you're going to always want to do it God's way. That should always be our desire. No matter how hard it is, I'm doing it God's way. The way Jesus showed us, knowing that we have His strength to help us to do it. If you're not forgiving anyone, no matter what's been done, you are inviting trouble and you are inviting problems into your life. And you will have them. A lot of people struggle with lots of different problems and they don't know why. A lot of it can be traced back to an unforgiving spirit. So forgiveness, then, is a choice. It's not a feeling. You don't wait till you feel like it. You choose to forgive because you've been forgiven. You choose to forgive because that's God's way. Now, there are problems that will come into a life if we're unwilling to forgive. Guilt, depression, resentment, bitterness, are just a few of the problems that begin to crop up in an individual's life. And every one of those things has their own set of problems attached with them. The depression, the resentment, the bitterness, the guilt, they all carry baggage. And all of that begins to collect in your life and in your attitude and in the atmosphere around you. And it begins to affect everything about you. An unforgiving attitude produces poor relationships and can cause those health problems that so many people experience, just like when you don't receive forgiveness. It can cause health problems. It keeps you in bondage, makes you lonely. It prevents compassion from being in your life and being sensitive to other people's needs. You go into this protect yourself mode and kind of mindset, I'll not be hurt like this again. And you begin to build the defenses, and you begin to build the walls, and you begin to build these things into your life. No one's going to get through to me again and hurt me like that. A lot of people in that condition today. A lot of people have that attitude. A bigger problem for you is that this affects and it disrupts your relationship with God. And that ought to really concern us. When there's something that affects my relationship with God, that ought to get my attention before anything else and say, something has to be done, and I have to make the choice. Bitterness can and will become part of the person's life who refuses to grant forgiveness. And bitterness is at the root of so many problems, and it takes on so many different faces and in so many different ways in a life. And so this, in turn, makes your heart hard. and it keeps you from receiving God's love, and it keeps you from loving others as well. And the two great commandments when Jesus was asked is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your neighbor, your relative, or fill in the blanks, your whoever, as yourself. Jesus made it clear what he expects from his followers. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. Jesus didn't sneak things in the back door for us. He made it clear. He put it out in black and white or in red and white. It depends on what your translation uses. He put it right out there in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. In verse 14 through 15, he says, If you forgive people their wrongdoings, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoings. In other words, get it together. Get out there and get the forgiveness granted so that you can receive it. See, another problem that we create for ourselves if we fail to forgive is that we're going to experience condemnation in our lives. Christians aren't supposed to have condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Paul says in Romans 8:1. Well, the condemnation comes not from God. It comes from false condemnation because we have not done what we're supposed to do in our lives. We talked about that last time. When our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart. So in order to avoid all these consequences as a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to forgive by choosing to do so. It's a choice. I have to choose. I don't wait for feelings. Don't wait for somebody to come to me. Don't wait for any of that. I choose to forgive. Keep in mind something very important is that when you forgive, you surrender your right to get back at someone. You surrender that right to get back at them. You turn that over to the Lord. That's now his job, not mine. Never really was our job, but we thought it was. Because of what they've done, I will get them for that. And there's been some pretty bad things done to people, isn't there? We hear about it. Maybe it's happened to you. You read about it. And that's the thing in your mind is, I will not let them get away with this. Well, it's not up to us to be able to do that. If you want to be free, you surrender your right to get back at someone. You turn that over to the Lord, and it frees you in your spirit. Forgiveness prevents you from becoming bitter. Forgiveness prevents you from being resentful because that's gone. You are no longer seething about what happened and how you're going to do whatever you can to get back at this person or persons or situations. It frees you to accept, and it frees you to receive the love of God in your life. And that's what we need. God intended for forgiveness to take place on a regular basis and instantly, not to wait. The problems come when we wait and we begin to seethe about it and we begin to stew about it. And then things begin to take root. No, we need to forgive instantly. Many times, people who fail to forgive compensate with behaviors in their life. They compensate by somehow becoming spiritual giants in other areas. And it takes away the attention from the fact that they're not forgiving or they haven't forgiven. And so they think that if they're spiritual giants in these areas and people are going to focus on that, they're going to focus on that. And then they avoid this area and this issue of forgiveness and having to admit their lack as a definite wrong response. If you don't forgive on a regular basis and instantly, it allows all of these things that we've talked about to begin to take root in your life. All of these situations, all of these emotional problems, all of these other physical and maybe mental problems because of the byproduct of what we've done. When by God's help, you come to the place where you choose to forgive, this allows then the work of the Holy Spirit to take place and take root in your life. When you choose to forgive, you are acting biblically. You're acting according to God's will. So, what does the act of forgiveness do? Well, it releases you, first of all, from any further bitterness, from any resentment toward the person or persons, and it frees you so that you keep loving and living and have a growing relationship with the Lord. Because if your relationship isn't growing with the Lord, it's not growing with anybody else. Nothing is going to happen. That's the first and foremost important thing in our life, growing our relationship with Him. And so it releases us from those other things and allows us to have that growing relationship with Him. It also frees you to have a growing relationship with others. How can you grow with others when you have this bitterness, this anger, this resentment in your life, and you're not an unforgiving spirit? You see, it's put the results in God's hands and leave them there. Is God big enough to handle it? Sure He is. We don't always feel that way because sometimes we think, yeah, God's able to handle it, but I, you know, there's a couple needles yet. I got to still get in there. No, we give it up. We give it up. You see, the great benefit comes to the one also who offended you. It frees this person to choose to do what's right. It frees them to have a proper response. Now, whether they do or not isn't your problem. Just because you do it doesn't mean they're going to, but it frees them to. Whether you forgive or whether they forgive you or not, that's not your problem. You are obligated to obey the Lord and do what He requires and do what's right. And see, when we do that, we have the clear conscience. Now, make sure that you seek forgiveness with a proper attitude. Make sure that your attitude is right and ask the Lord for that help. I need to have the right attitude in the way I do this. You don't go up to somebody and say, yeah, well, I forgive you. And you know, that rotten, dirty thing that you did to me, yeah, I forgive you. No, you didn't. You constantly throw it in their face while you're trying to get forgiveness. When you forgive, you place your trust in God to deal with the offender or offenders, and the results of what happens are His. That's the freedom that we get. You forgive, you place your trust in Him, and to deal with that other individual or individuals, and the results of what happens are His, and you're good with that. You're free from these things. You're free from those pressures. You're free from those burdens. Forgiveness releases you from getting that resentment that so often develops, that bitterness that can often come into a life because of that lack of forgiveness, that playing the blame game and seeking to get even game. It gets rid of that stuff in our lives. When you forgive, you allow Christ's love to flow through you to the other person or persons. And that's the healing process. Prison Fellowship Ministries gives this account. It says, the man I ate dinner with tonight killed my brother. The words spoken by a stylish woman at a prison fellowship banquet in Seattle amazed me, the account goes on. She told how John H. had murdered her brother during a robbery, served 18 years at Walla Walla, and then settled into life on a dairy farm where she had met him in 1983, 20 years after his crime. Compelled by Christ's command to forgive, Ruth Youngsman had gone to her enemy and pronounced forgiveness. Then she had taken him to her father's deathbed, promoting reconciliation. Some wouldn't call this a success story because John didn't dedicate his life to Christ. But that prison fellowship banquet last fall, his voice cracked and he said, Christians are the only people I know that you can kill their son and they'll make you part of their family. I don't know the man upstairs, but he sure is hounding me. John's story isn't finished. He hasn't yet accepted Christ. But just as Christ died for us regardless of our actions or acceptance, Ruth forgave him without qualification. Even more, so she became his friend. Only God can do that. Only can that happen through forgiveness. But there's a key that we need to be aware of in order to truly forgive. Even though forgiveness is fantastic and its benefits are huge, we need to make sure that we don't allow things to hinder the forgiving process. We have to make sure. Some people will deny that anything wrong was done. They just deny it. Or that hurt occurred. I wasn't hurt. They never admit it. And so they lie to themselves. They lie to others, because basically that's what it is a lie. This blocks the forgiveness process. When you fail to admit, when you fail to identify and to realize, yes, I was hurt. Yes, I was damaged. Yes, I was. You admit that. Also, others get mad and they just blame the other person in order to justify themselves. If it wasn't for them, it wasn't for their attitude, it wasn't for their action, it wasn't for that smirk I'm still seeing on their face when they see me, and that continues to nurture and fester inside. Those are things that get in the way of forgiveness. We need to admit that wrong had been done, be willing to see our part in it, if any, and confess anything that might be needed. And at that point, if you're having that kind of an attitude, you need to confess that attitude. Say, Lord, forgive me for that. Then you can move on into forgiveness. There's also some that feel that if they forgive, and if I forgive them, it's going to give them license to hurt me again. And so they withhold forgiveness. They actually believe that. They're just going to be free to do it again if I forgive them. Well, one thing that needs to be understood, forgiveness is not passive. Forgiveness is not passive. It's the choice that will free you to change the situation or solve the problem that caused this situation in the first place. Now, despite what others do, despite what the other person does, despite what the other circumstances might have been, you choose to do what's right and you obey what the Bible says. That brings you the release and the freedom. Another reason forgiveness is not sought is that people focus on their own personal hurt. And they dwell on the injustice that was done. And there's no doubt. It may have happened to you, may have somebody you know. There's been a lot of injustices done. There's been a lot of hurt committed. There's been a lot of that going on. But instead, you need to focus on and choose to love the other person like Christ does. Remember, it's not those that love those that love you. It's the fact that we're to love those who persecute you, who hate you, who despise you. You see, that's real Christianity. And the problem today in America, we don't sometimes understand real Christianity. No one said being a Christian is going to be easy. We always think being a Christian, everything's going to be easy and flow easy. No, that means you may take the hard road. You may have to take the hurt. You may have to take the brunt of it. But you do what he says, and you love. And you forgive, and you do the things that are right, and then he's free to bless us. I think a lot of blessing is lost because we draw lines in our real Christianity, and we have real Christianity by my ideas and my standards. But that's not the way it goes, is it? It's what does God say in his word? What does he expect? And so this, of course, can only be done as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you and to control you, because he gives us the ability to do this only through him. Look at what Jesus forgave all of us of. Think about it. Guilt-free, never done anything, never committed a sin, and yet all of the filth, all of the horror, all of the garbage, all of the worst of sins that we can't even imagine some were put on him because he took our place. And what did he do in his life? What did he do with all those things that happened with him and in the situations that he found himself in? Well, in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, says, when they arrived at the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on the right, one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they're doing. And they divided his clothes and casting lots for those things that he had. But his idea was, Father, forgive them. At that moment, Jesus could have said, Father, strike a few of these people dead right now. Not all of them, just a few, just to show that you're in charge. And you know, zap them right now. And their eternity would have been lost. But he didn't. He says, Father, forgive them. Forgive here means to send away. So send away the things that they're doing or did. Don't charge them against them. Send that away from them. That is the idea behind receiving and giving forgiveness. He will give you the ability to forgive. But keep in mind, an unwillingness to forgive is sin. No other way to describe it. It's sin. The world we live in is filled with injustice. Lots of injustice, isn't it? But take courage. We serve a just God, one who loves, one who forgives, one who's there for us. So what are the steps, really, to true forgiveness? Well, Dr. Bob Gann gives us some ideas, and he gives us six steps, six things. And again, this is just an idea. You may find something else, I don't know. But number one, he says, tell God about the situation. Tell God about it. He already knows, but tell him. Confess any of sin that you might have and ask him to bring healing and forgiveness and the ability to you to forgive. Secondly, consider the greatness of the forgiveness of God. Consider the greatness of the forgiveness of God and the cost of the cross to Jesus when you're thinking about you. Thirdly, choose to forgive and not hold the offense against anyone. Choose to forgive and don't hold the offense against them. Fourth, if you yourself have sinned against the offender, go to them, confess your own sin. If you've been a part of it, confess your own sin. Ask for forgiveness without casting blame or expecting them to forgive you. A lot of times that's the downfall with people. Well, they didn't forgive me. Well, maybe not. That's their problem. You do what God expects. Fifthly, maintain the attitude of humility. Forgiveness and resist the temptation to nurse past wounds. Remember, forgiveness is sending away, so there's nothing to nurse anymore. There's nothing to continue to mull over because you've sent it away. Maintain the attitude of humility and forgiveness. Resist any temptation to nurse past sins. And then lastly, if unforgiveness or bitterness reoccur because of reminders or because of the sin being repeated, make the choice. Go back through the process again. Make sure that you take those necessary steps because you do it with your will, not with your feelings. Because a lot of times feelings are very slow to catch up. Remember that some of the hurts caused may heal very slowly. Even though you've forgiven the other person, some things that have been done have been very bad, and the healing takes time. But always remember to pray for the offender instead of nursing the hurt. When you sense the hurt, pray for the offenders and ask God to help them, to forgive them, to help them along this road. That's hard, but Christ is our example. He paid the ultimate price for sin on the cross, and because he did, it paves the way for forgiveness for everyone who asks. For everyone who asks, and that's important. There's one last thing that we need to address before we end this, and that is, what about this idea of forgiving and forgetting? Forgiving and forgetting. Ever hear this? Well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. Is it true? What do you do with that statement? Well, when you forgive someone, there needs to be a complete change in the relationship. Sometimes that change may only be one-sided because, again, you're not responsible for them. You're responsible for you. This idea of forgive and forget, can't find it in Scripture. Can't find it in Scripture. The change that takes place by forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that you forget. Doesn't mean that you forget. Forgetting sometimes takes time. Some of the smaller things you'll be able to forget in time. Some things you'll never forget. Some things will always be there. Not every aspect is there, but if a large amount of time has passed and has been a fairly minor thing and you're still not forgetting, then maybe there's some other issues to deal with. Major things, you may never forget. People may still be keeping the issue alive, though, by stewing about it. In other words, keeping it alive in their mind. They fuss over it and they stew over it. That is unscriptural, and therefore it can't be forgotten. You see, forgiveness means that you no longer continue to dwell on the sin or the thing that was forgiven. You don't dwell on it anymore. You no longer do that. Forgiveness is really a promise not to raise the issue again to the offender or to others or even to yourself. I'm not going to do that. I no longer have that freedom to raise the issue. The Bible talks about fruit appropriate to repentance, and that's fruit that's appropriate to repentance is when we no longer do that. This means that even though you forgive someone, you may remember the event, but you look for evidence of repentance in the other person and or yourself. This fruit or results then should come with true repentance and true forgiveness. They go hand in hand. And again, you're only responsible for you, not for the other person. And as this happens, a new relationship can be built. And the thing that caused the problem in the first place begins to fade away. And many times, a new relationship can be restored in the right way. But be aware, this may not happen if the other side refuses to forgive. You still do what's right. And this is true even if rebuilding the relationship is not possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Like I said, sometimes the individual has passed away and there's no way to reconcile it. Might have been a family member, might have been a friend, might have been a co-worker. You can't deal. You have to deal with it yourself, and you have to go to God and say, I release them, I forgive them, and I want my end clear. So as you avoid dwelling on the matter, as you avoid telling others about it, kind of keeping it alive, and bringing it up even to the offender, the more possible, when we stop doing that, the more possible forgetting becomes. Now, the pain and hurt of an event will often go away after time. The pain of it. You know, in my life, I can't forget the fact that a hit-and-run drunk driver killed my dad at age 42 in a prime of his life. But having forgiven, that event does not cause me anger anymore, and it doesn't cause pain like it once did. Because I forgave the individual. So in life, you need to seek to discover and solve life's problems God's way. If true health and true balance are to take place in your life, that has to happen. Forgiveness done right, it's hard work. Feelings aren't the important thing. Obedience to the word is. Sometimes we say, well, that's just not fair. You're right, life's not fair. Don't raise yourself with life being fair. Don't raise your kids, your grandkids with, well, it's not fair, because you're right. Life is not fair. It's never fair. It's never going to be fair. But we do what's right. There's right and there's wrong and there's justice and there's mercy, and we need to do what's right. We need to commit ourselves to the hard work of forgiveness. We need to promise not to raise the issue again. We need to move on to rebuilding the relationship where possible. And this is the essence of giving forgiveness. With God's grace, we can do it. And then we can be free the way He wants us to be free. Free to enjoy Him, free to enjoy life, free to move on in that joy of being forgiven. Father, we thank You for setting the example to us, not just talking about it, not just telling us about it, but by setting the example through Jesus. We thank You that forgiveness can be done. I pray that we would determine that before this day is done, we'll get forgiveness, we'll give forgiveness, we'll receive forgiveness, so that our lives are free and so that You are glorified and are honored, and that the relationships that have been damaged because of an unforgiving spirit, when we realize how silly it has been, we realize that You can take care of it. Help us to have that spirit of forgiveness and follow Jesus' example, and we'll give You praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.